Doug Muller.
Ron Newman, District 5.
Brian Caperton.
Devin Huff.
Randy Hayes.
Perfect. And audience?
Travis Iyer from HDR.
And?
Brad Albrecht, Potato Cap Sewer District. Carbondale School Board member.
Yeah, he's my boss now. Carl's also one of Carbondale Schools.
Perfect. First item up is the approval of the past minutes from the July 24th meeting.
I move that the previous meeting's minutes be approved.
Second.
Motion, a second. Any discussion? All in favors?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion would pass to approve the minutes. Any old business? Note if anyone needs to...
Do you have a speakerphone on your phone? Could you get a hold of Rick and just have him give us a verbal update where we're at with the Taney County Expressway and...
Well, that would be us that could give that update.
Okay, have you got all the latest information? Okay.
Yeah, it won't take very long.
Okay.
Mainly if you heard back anything on the...
Haven't heard a word, and we won't until December 18th.
December 18th is the day. Okay, so are you going to celebrate over Christmas or we're not?
Yes. Okay. We thought maybe they might send out a short list, but they haven't.
They didn't come up with a short list. There's been no interrogatories going back and forth, questions?
Yeah, there's been contact with different senators and people at the White House, but no word is...
I was thinking about any questions arose over what we submitted, what was submitted.
Not that I've heard of.
Any follow-up or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's wait and see. Mm-hmm. December 18th.
Okay. And will they do this is who's got it, or do they come out with a short list and then...
No, they're supposed to notify us yes or no.
Perfect. That makes it a little better anyway, just to did or didn't. Any other old business?
I had one item, just reading material that I passed out at the... We didn't have a quorum at the last gathering, and so I just had some reading material, and so I only want to give the reading material to those who weren't here. And it had to do with similar situation what we have up at Johnson County government. Johnson County, one of the richest, of course, they're a very well-to-do county in south of Kansas City. And I'll give you another copy. Make sure you got it. This is basically reading material. It can be a model that maybe when we get further down the line, again, talking about an industrial park out there south of the Taney County Expressway between it and the airport, where in Johnson County, they've got a lot of similarities. They're in a larger municipality than we are, for sure, but they have the Johnson County Community College, Technical College, that's there. They have an industrial park, and they have an airport. And the industrial park that they developed was from an old naval facility. I'll just read some excerpts here. Kansas has 21 railroads, old, new, and long and short. The state's smallest railroad, spanning slightly more than 6 miles of track, operates at the New Century Air Center, it's called, in the northeast edge of Gardner. The track system at the Logistics Park in Kansas City, managed by Johnson County Airport Commission. Strange. This could be another challenge, perhaps, where we're trying to meet the highway traffic with the rail and the air freight forwarding, and maybe another source of revenue for our airport in Branson. to expand its horizons, to diversify. At least that's what they've done in Johnson County, and they've had a great deal of success with it. The railroad was used by the Navy to bring in operating supplies for flight training. During its heyday, the Olathe Naval Station was a beehive of activity. The Airport Commission acquired the site in 1973 and named the complex the Johnson County Industrial Airport. So it's a smaller airport. It's not a major airport, but it's for company planes and things like that to come in there. Similar to the industrial airport that we have there at Branson, that is getting more business right now, or equal business to the main airport. But the name was changed to New Century Air Center, and then they acquired their first locomotive, and there's a commission, an airport commission overseas. They hire the management and the employees for the rail line, because every good organization's got to have somebody to operate it, either private or, in this case, their county operates it through their airport commission. Bottom line, at the very last paragraph, it says a railway connection with BNSF. Of course, our airport out here is with Union Pacific. It's the Missouri North Arkansas Railroad, which we've been in conference with over a number of years now. We've even had a spur track surveyed by the Union Pacific out there, and we've got the plans laid out for that. Some preliminary site locations were perhaps the first industrial park or spur track to be located, and then this transload facility that we've talked about, which would be a manufacturing warehouse, basically. But it says the major factors at the New Century Air Center continues to grow and expand. Multimodal interindustrial park with air, rail, and truck transportation capabilities. And that's exactly what we're targeting, something very similar to that, except on a much smaller scale to start with. But the complex, totaling more than 2,500 acres, has now nearly 70 industrial and commercial tenants with approximately 5,000 private sector employees. The economic impact of the industrial park in the Kansas City region was estimated at more than $2 billion by the County Economic Research Institute in Overland Park. So this could be a model that we might want to do some site visits in the future. And I'm going to have to hand carry it to Rick, I guess, to get it to him, because he wasn't at the last meeting either. But particularly, I wanted Rick to get a copy. I'll make sure he gets one of these. But just wanted to add that as a item to be thinking about and far out in the future. But at least we can think about that and relevant to the rail side of things. Old business. That's it.
Great. All right. And I'm not sure that was with Carlos over at Carrillo. Have we got some information on that?
Yeah, I didn't bring copies of it. It was at actually the last meeting.
Okay.
That's the updated list. I think.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
With the Adam Turn Lanes, Kirbyville, 34 maybe. Yeah. There. Didn't rank real high because there weren't a lot of crashes that actually showed up at that intersection. It is on the list.
And this update will probably carry us through the end of the year into the new year, right?
Should have something else, but yeah, as far as I know.
But we don't have another meeting between now and the end of the year, so that's good. It's great to have an update. Thank you very much for that.
So it's at 34?
Yep.
That's the Highway 76 Kirbyville School Turn Lane. So that was a new ad?
Yes.
Do we have any updates on any of these projects, just looking at the list here that we need to be posted on and would be part of old business?
Concrete, 16 Coon Creek will be completed in 2018, right?
Should be by the end of next week.
That's...
It should be open.
That's early, it won't be complete.
It won't be completed. It will be open to traffic. It should be.
Well, it'll be a lot of people clapping their hands out there in that area, won't they? They've been having to do some detours since that work's been going on, is it? I was talking to someone out there in the area there, and they were really going to be pleased to see that completed.
Well, Highway Patrol will, and a lot of people. Kirbyville School.
Hollister Schools, too.
Hollister.
We send the most high school students there, so they actually send a shuttle route, so it has to go all the way around now, which, you know, takes time with the traffic.
Well, you've heard it straight from the source, the end of next week.
Well,
plus or minus a day or two.
Or you could just send them to Forsyth. It'd be a lot easier. When you have to worry about Coon Creek.
Well, you know, we did have issues about it.
But no, Coon Creek, we poured the deck on it last Wednesday, and we stripped the forms on it yesterday, and we're doing the approaches currently.
Turned out the way kind of vision looks like it's going to work good.
Mm-hmm.
So shortly it'll drop into our list of completions.
Yes.
Excellent. Good progress.
And I only say this because of last week I seen another one down, but like what we have is 7, the Rockaway Beach US 160 intersection there by old Bob's Easy Stop. There was another, there was a truck, you know, it had missed. It's just, I'm still a pretty big proponent. That's not wide enough to have the state needs to get rid of the turn lane or widen it out once. It's a...
They need to readjust the profile.
Yeah, and it's it lays the wrong direction, and it just...
The one on number 28, what was the deal with it? I mean, we went in there and redid the whole subdivision several years ago.
Where's
that
at?
They put sewer in out by Point Royal.
Not sure who added that one to the project list. Initially, these all started about 4 years ago when we were asked by the chairman, David, at that time, to come up with a list of 7 project items.
That was one of them.
And get them on the list.
That district they come up with.
I don't know if they want done. I mean, the roads are paved and...
Well, we have a detailed...
Yeah, I got it right here. That was one of them I think David Miller added, but... Description is the neighborhood has stormwater issues. Stormwater is handled as roadside swales and it does not have sidewalks.
No, we don't have sidewalks, but we got the
urban gutters and sidewalks throughout the neighborhood.
We've got ditch lines for the water.
Have those ditch lines just been redone or
we keep them maintained? I mean, they've been in existence for quite a while.
Yeah, but then when that was added,
I think it was one of the original ones.
I don't ever foresee urban gutter.
It does have water runoff issues. I mean, there's runoff there that's difficult to control. The subdivision lays in the valley pretty much, and it's hard to control some of the runoff during heavy rains. Normal rains, I mean, it works fairly decent. We've got enough ditch and culvert there to handle that, but not during heavy.
Yeah, there's no improvements on the roads listed in here. It's just adding curb and gutter and sidewalks.
So
I don't ever see it having curb and gutter and sidewalks in the near future. But
we don't think the water issue's gone away. That it's
not entirely.
So I guess I hear what you're saying. Leave it on the list for attention and evaluation. But we don't have any immediate actions. It's not, it's down 28th on the list.
And number 32, we have got approval, and it is in the planning stage.
Did you change your mind?
Yeah, we did get approval to do it through the BRO program.
Last I heard,
is that the match, the
Yeah, the arrow on that.
MoDOT approved it. See, it had a low water structure that didn't, that was not on the inspection list. So we got them talked into letting us use our BRO money and soft match to build a bridge there in place of that, so we wouldn't ever have to worry about it.
It's basically, it's just a slab up there, isn't it?
It's fairly long, low water structure, and it's the last major crossing that we really have done nothing with in many, many years.
That's a 2019 project, right?
Yes. It won't, it'll be at least a year before anything gets close
to
being.
Actually, you put that on the list, if I remember that.
Are they going to build the road up, coming up to it that's in a floodplain?
Yes.
That's going to be a long stretch through there.
Well, no, part of that, the actual bridge and the approach out so far, and then the rest of it the county can do on their own from there on, but the approach to the bridge itself is what will be done first. And the homeowners years ago, they agreed to help us out with right away, but they wanted a bridge first.
Okay.
And then the rest of it will be easy.
Bee Creek Road did get a new overlay this year.
What number is it?
Well, it's Bee Creek Road and Reinhardt Road, 44 for capacity.
Well, that one may be completed. Can you see what?
Well, the intersection,
it
we
was
didn't
just
do
a new overlay, resurface.
Yeah, so that would be, wouldn't affect the intersection.
Yeah, this was actually to add a turn lane and improve the intersection.
Yeah, but it didn't touch that.
Yeah.
I'm not with the church. Is that part of the health department there across from the Jehovah's Witness Church? You know,
yeah, yes.
I don't know if the way the building said, I don't know, you know, how feasible a turn lane you would be there even if you were trying to do it, you know, because that health department, they put right up against it.
Barring right away would be difficult without people losing parking.
Yeah.
And you're talking a lot of money for moving utilities.
There's
a bunch there.
A lot of utilities out there.
Okay.
The other one I noticed on the Hulls Ford Bridge, I've been working with Travis some on it, and we're probably going to just do some saw cuts and repair on it rather than, I mean, you're talking over $1 million for a bridge to serve two homes. Is where we're at with that one.
District 5 still have very sharp concerns about 248 upgrades, item 10 and item 33 at Buchanan at the high school for intersections, but I will reserve my comments again for the next meeting when Keith Francis is here. Done some to alleviate the safety issues, particularly at Branson Hills Parkway, but basically have done nothing on those two fairly high-ranking, one of them in the top 10 items in the last 3 years. We've done nothing. There's a lot of major work that needs to be done on that 248, and we'll discuss it time and again, but need to raise the issue with the city of Branson again, because that's all in the city limits.
Where does the city limit start right there? Is it right there?
248 is it?
248.
Yeah. The west of that's reserve area to the west, forest area or reserve. But the dividing line is 248.
Yeah, because that's sort of Bob Simmons, Table Rock. I don't know who now is underground over there, who actually owns that. But
he's underground on the east side, too.
Mm-hmm.
almost underneath my home in Branson Hills.
Yeah, careful.
I'm getting many
sometimes
of the.
You gotta pick who your neighbors are.
I'm getting many of the aftershocks.
And a lime quarry might not be the best one.
248 is right at the city limit, but all the way up, I think, to the high road. As far as it extends due to the north.
Perfect.
I was going to ask about the roundabout. Did you hear anything about that? Let's get that done.
I heard by Christmas. I heard that yesterday.
It looks like they've got laid what they're going to lay, you know. With,
well, the asphalt plants are shut down, so I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. If
unless they can talk one of them into starting back up.
I hate to see the. Would like to know who was on the plan of taking away the turn, you know, that originally was supposed to have a bypass lane. You know, you could come from the flats and just straight up the hill, but they said there just wasn't going to be room. But I know you're getting it from the core, whether you take 30 feet or you take 38 feet. You know, I don't see how that, but supposedly now it's not going to have it. It's just going to be a straight roundabout, which will add to this. I'm assuming when this happens, it'll add the intersection right out here.
All it's going to do. It's going to help down there, but back it up further and quicker up here.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to concentrate on some type of light or a turn light or a roundabout up here, yeah. Continuing on through town.
It was a little traffic.
I'm thinking a timed light like they have out at the other intersection would help tremendously.
Yeah, because it's, you know, no more traffic that comes up Y. You almost could just
you don't
keep
have
green,
that much.
You know. Yeah.
Because everything's going east-west.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I think Rick had said when they done one there in Hollister, you know, it was over $1 million to get a light put in. Which it's hard for me to understand. You look at what it is, and it's just, and I understand, you know, they put, like, it's a weight sensor.
Sensors,
you know,
yeah.
That's in the, but it just—it still seems like a—it seems like an awful lot of money for what you're getting, but I assume, yeah, that's that'll be coming pretty soon. It'll be, but Rick did have a good point about this. He said if you don't fix one part of it, you know, he's like, you'll never get. He said just start somewhere and try to fix forward. But if, any other updates, Devin? That.
Yeah, I've got on Victor Church Bridge, it is open. It has been for probably a month and a half. Coon Creek, we're working on the approaches right now, and we'll hopefully open it up to traffic by the end of next week. We will still have work to do under the bridge as far as riprap. Dale Avenue, I got approval to go ahead and have HDR submit the plans to the Corps to get it up out of the flood area and redo the ramp approach. We ended up on our chip and seal getting 72 out of the 85 miles.
Are you guys done for the year on it?
Mm-hmm. Round Mountain, like I said, we did get approval from MoDOT, and about a year from now, it should be the ball rolling on it. That's probably going to be September-ish before anything can start on it. As far as the turn lane, I am working on getting information. I haven't said nothing to anybody because I haven't gotten a number. Or I got some numbers, but trying to make them around on right away. And right. If you go on the school side, you're talking $100,000 minimum for utility to move it.
what utilities have to be moved on?
The, all the underground up here, the phone, electric, all of it.
Sewer in there now too, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going up on there?
It's all a little ways, but how much right away would you
need? I'm still working on it. Beth just got us a traffic count, which is going to help entail on how big a turn lane would be required. You know, so if we went to the lower side of the road, there's a 100,000 savings right there by not having to move utilities.
And to go on the material and to go on the opposite side?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And we wouldn't have to tear out the entrance and redo it.
There's not much on that opposite side. I mean, there's some vacant lots.
That's one.
I think the Jehovah's Witness Church, and then Klein's got the horse farm thing.
Yeah.
You know, his father owns that. He would give an easement.
He was wanting to try to incorporate a turn lane to get into his business.
If it extended that there, yeah.
I don't know. That would be separate from this, but anyway, when we get all the numbers, have to submit a permit to MoDOT, and if they approve it, to allow us to do the work, and if the commission's good with it, that would help get it done and save a lot of money.
Yeah,
but they can surely contribute some to it. But I haven't gotten no numbers yet, and to help the rumor mill that goes around, I'll let you know when I find out numbers. I mean, that's just the way I roll. I mean, I want to get all my numbers together, and then I'll call and try to get a meeting with the school board.
I talk about the rumor mill. Yeah, I don't put much stock in the rumor mill. I go to the source. But at the last board meeting, I did let the board know, that that was something that could be discussed about putting the turn lane in. That, you know, it's still early, but, you know, even if we could help in any small way, we would, you know.
Well, even if everything did get approved, it couldn't be done until you're done with summer school, the way I look at it.
Well, we have summer school at the elementary, so as soon as the regular school's out in May, we could,
So we have June and July.
Yeah. If you need anything from me, just let me know, or the school.
Like I said, when we get all the numbers down to where we hopefully can get them to and get everything approved, then we'll come to the school board.
I will say that just with the, not just the closure of Coon Creek, but probably with the bridge in here opening up, seeing an increase in traffic in front of the schools, and we can attest to number.
How many accidents do you know of in front of the school?
In front of ours?
Yeah, the middle.
Right in front of our middle school. I know we had a bus total that was hit in front of there. Luckily, no kids were on there, and it didn't kill the drivers. But it did total that school bus. We've had some near misses. We did have one teacher hit in front of there probably 3 or 4 years ago. A lot of it are either towards Victoria and Hartwood. Ken Klein's talking about, for some reason, I don't know if it's a dip or what, there's a lot of accidents right there around his entrance, and it's, I don't know, like I said, if it's the plane or going into that curve or people's cell phones, but there has been a lot of accidents on either side of that too. Now, it's helped tremendously when the county did raise up right there at Power Site, which is just on the east of us, that cut down a lot of accidents right there.
See, the reports I've been getting, they couldn't find any accident reports, and I knew that.
I've got dates and times of them. I mean,
can you email them to me?
Yeah, actually, yeah, I can, because I came on. I mean, after the near miss, the one teacher was almost hit by a dump truck in front of there that stopped turning left, trying to get in there, and a dump truck took the ditch and hit a tree.
After that one,
then I came over and I wrote a letter to Billy Long and everybody else saying, hey, can we get this looked at? Don't want to have a bus full of kids killed right there. And we put in, last year we did turn, put those signals in, just like at the elementary. But the elementary, the speed limit goes from 45 to 35. At the middle school, on that straightaway, it's 55, and we can only go down 10, so it's 45.
See, and I asked that question the other day, and they said due to the amount of accidents, it wouldn't qualify to lower it to 45 and then 35 during school.
Yeah, they said, and I asked them to.
See, if the lower the speed limit, the shorter the turn lane would be required.
Yeah, well, the increased safety, there is a huge difference between when it slows down to 45 versus 35. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will attest to that. But I know putting a turn in there will save lives. It will.
Does look like it's going to get approved. I mean, all the help we can get going towards MoDOT on trying to get that speed limit lowered, whether it comes from the board or whoever, a letter, it would be good.
I'll get that to you today.
By curiosity, how was the bus towed?
The bus was pulling out to the right, and a driver crossed the center line.
At high speed?
55. In the morning, it was during summer school. The bus had just left out. Luckily, he had a few seconds to try to angle the bus towards the ditch so it hit more on the side of it, spun around and went down and flew into the opposite ditch. If not, that would have been a head-on. Probably the bus, knowing how heavy that is in the frame, probably would have rode right over the top of that. But just crossed the center line.
Sounds like speed magnified that one greatly.
It did. And, like I said, it was early in the morning, and uninsured insurance. He didn't have insurance.
Oh, they never do.
Yeah, it was good. But luckily, like I said, no one was killed in that. The bus driver wasn't killed or anything. So
it doesn't make sense to me, the answer I got on that. Well, there hadn't been enough accidents. How many people have to be killed to lower at 10 miles per hour?
Yeah, well, experience. That's how MoDOT operates.
Yeah. I do know, fatalities. We had some luck. This board helped someone. I don't know if you're very familiar with, like, between Gazemos and Cedar Creek, but where Slough Hall Road, it's actually Brace Hill on that end, because that's what I talked to Beth. You know, it was kind of the same thing. There wasn't enough accidents. You don't like to move it, and that's what explained to her. But the issue is, four times a day, it's a school bus load of kids pulling out on that corner. You know, it's one of those, when there is a fatality, it might be 35 to 40, you know. So we did get it moved and approved, you know, and the county done, it's kind of the same thing. The county wound up, MoDOT approved it, the county done the work, and we moved it down. You know, just, a lot of it just becomes a like four-side buses.
The turn lane at school was there long before I got here. It'll be here long after I leave.
Yeah.
That will affect generations, not just the school. That affects people going between east and west. That affects everybody on there. So that's something that, just like when we built safe rooms, tornado safe rooms after the League Day tornado, now our school district never has to worry about what a safe place to take kids. They'll always have a tornado shelter in most of those facilities now. It's off the list, you can mark it, never have to address it again. So turn lanes in there, yes.
Yeah.
Affect generations.
I bet we can push that some more.
I think it would do good if the school board would give them a letter. Maybe the bath shower. Or
is there someone that lives, because there's a drive almost like straight across from your drive, right?
Yeah, there's a little house. Yeah.
Is there actually someone that lives in that residence?
Yeah, there's one house or a trailer or something. It drops off tremendously on that side into a valley. Now I wish
construction would be more expensive to build the terminal on that side. But I see what you're saying. You said a lot more than
press the number. We gave all everything. The utilities were all on our side.
I don't know what was that bus.
Four.
3 or 4 years ago.
I think four. I think four.
I mean, we pulled all the crash data when we did this. The way they report the data, like this is from 2014 to 2016, takes them that long to update stuff.
Yeah.
So it was since 2016 it wouldn't have shown up, but that was the big thing on this, and they weren't even reported right at that
end. Yeah. Well,
why?
Data, I'm smart enough to know that data can mean different things. Because after I came in, Beth Schaller told me the same thing. as she tells, and I mean, it's a standard pitch, God bless her, but when you put out those strips to do a count, yeah, if you do it during summer when we don't have kids and parents there, or during spring break or Christmas break, yeah, all you have is just the daily traffic. You don't have the school district that has parent pickup and drop off every single day, buses running 2-3 times a day. I mean, the amount of traffic does increase when we have school in session. You put those out there when we don't have session, yeah, you'll have a lower count.
That's the same issue we have at 248 that I was talking about earlier in Francis schools. The 45 mile an hour on 248. The potential there of high risk could be reduced significantly by a lowered speed. And we're going to have to continue to work on that if they're not going to do something physically to help out the intersections and so forth. Same issue.
About the same amount of traffic goes to the outer road as goes to 248, isn't there? There's a tremendous amount.
Yeah. And we keep that intersection mode where they can see that much further.
They need it.
Yeah. They know it every week during the mowing season.
The alignment and terrain makes something very difficult.
So with these edits that we've had today, come next year we'll have 2019 at the top of the list here and we can update it accordingly, right? And then we'll keep it updated.
They did get all the bridges done, like the ones down in Bradleville.
Yeah, it's all finished now, isn't it?
Yeah, the Swan Creek.
That hopefully be a problem you don't live long enough to have to worry about again. You don't have to pay it up.
I don't know if I mentioned it before, but we did get the helicopter pad put in at Bradleville at our salt barn for helicopters, and I came by and did a landing on it to make sure everything was good, and it was, and then people started parking on it and taking mountain bike rides, so we had to put guardrail around it so the helicopter could land.
With the Kazemills Park, their Beaver Bridge, mm-hmm. See that the looks like the bathroom's done, the pavilions. Any guesses, any plans on how to keep kids from just tearing the fire out of that place down there?
We're going to, I've got an estimate today to put a gate up towards the entrance and a fence to where during wet weather we can close the gate and keep them out of there, but all I got to do is drive around through the conservation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully, they won't do that. What? We've got to go through there and roll it and get it smoothed out. I mean, it's a roller coaster ride trying to mow it.
Cut an awful lot of hay not very far from there, and they do the exact same thing. So all the core, you know, you right through.
Well, and then you go down in there, and the core pulled that culvert out.
Yeah.
Trying to keep people from driving in. Now they're just going up tea table and driving in and ruining that much more property. But yeah, we got the pavilions done and the fire pit and lantern hangers. We're going to do the gate, and that should be pretty well it for now. I'm working with them on cleaning that stream bed. Keeps eroding the park, and it's out of our lease. We can't do much about it.
I've never seen that fill up like that. You know, this last, it just went from, you know, it went from nothing to that whole thing is going down. But at least I did see the kids may have transferred up to this direction. So when I come through this morning, Shadrock Park, between the, just out, would be like in the ball field, outfield, big old hook, you know, that's getting braver if you'll do that, you know, in a municipality where there's a 24-hour police presence, but maybe they'll catch them.
We are working on a bridge there that reminded me of a low water crossing. All the heavy rain had undermined it. So we're going in there and putting rebar and formed up the lower side, and we'll have to cut a couple holes in the deck of it and pour flowable fuel down in there to get it stabilized again. But we're going to pour concrete on it tomorrow and be done with it.
And I haven't heard anything else since last I spoke with Commissioner Wyatt a little as far on the advisory board voting eligibility. And I haven't heard anything back on whether we had in how few were here for that with if Devin was eligible, you know,
we had some discussion at the last meeting.
Anything come up?
And the Sheila Wyatt had done some research on her own, and her staff said that they came up with the previous documents for establishing committee members, and that it raised some additional concern with her from that standpoint that county positions could not sit on certain committees. But I relayed back to her that we had done the charter to update all other previous, at least as far as the Taney County Transportation Advisory Board is concerned, to encourage participation in because we had difficulty filling positions. And the charter had been published recently in 2017, and it was very explicit about what the criteria were for board members. And there's nothing precludes the county from participating, and it freed up those not having to be members of their district, which was a problem in the past of filling. So and that wasn't a formal meeting, we just because we didn't have a quorum, but we discussed that back and forth. And I think the way that we left it, that of course we voted at the last, the minutes we just approved, we voted that updating the charter website, let's see, oh here it is, a motion was made that representative of the Taney County Board and Bridge as a board member to the advisory board, and that was seconded and the motion carried. So the board had recommended at our meeting on July 24th, Taney County Board, that that position be made a member of the Taney County Board, be acceptable, and it was in accordance with the bylaws of the charter, our newest charter. And I think what she wanted from us was just a letter over the chairman's signature stating that, you know, that this was a governing document and that there was nothing prohibited and that it was recommended and approved at that date that he be added as a member of the board. And so she was looking at that as an action item, and really we didn't have a chance to discuss it because that wasn't a bona fide meeting. But that's what she, I think she was looking for.
I think you'll actually have to get your notes together and get on the agenda under the commission meeting and present it, and then they'll vote on it.
Okay.
I mean, but if you put yourself together and put a letter together that you could present to them at the meeting, Rick could probably help out in that because he had a lot of information on that.
So she's looking for a letter. That's basically summarizing what I just mentioned. And that would solidify it. And then I think we would have to go to the commission. The commission ultimately approves everything we do. Mm-hmm. And if they're satisfied with that, then it's a done deal. And we're back to full staff, the full seven members. Well, we need to be. We should always maintain that. Whatever it takes to get a full staff, we need full representation.
Right. my opinion. We will try to get that squared away and get on the agenda.
If you need a help in a letter, let me know, or Rick, or both of us.
Okay. And
basically, I think just a brief letter summarizing what was just mentioned is what she's looking for.
Did that come about because originally we had 7 members plus the road and bridge administrator, which was ultimately the liaison between the board members and the commission.
Yeah.
But one district, very difficult, never could find anybody, and the county halfway combined a couple of those.
Yeah.
But then also, you can't find them within that district.
So. Right.
Very difficult to do.
In this case, the road and bridge would become a voting member, a full-fledged yes. member, under what's already been recommended from this board.
Yeah. All right. Anybody have any other new business?
Well, I would make a motion to adjourn.
I will second that motion.
Motion made to adjourn with the second. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
It's been a good year.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for everybody.